But let's kick it off with a little bit of prayer. So why don't we close our eyes? Father God, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity to just explore what it means to really be involved in Toronto and to see a change happen in this city. God, we thank you for the direction that our church is going this year and wanting to pour out your love to this city. And Lord, I thank you that we have this time to talk about what that looks like here in youth. And I ask that you would give our youth some really fresh ideas and even some insight as to what they can do to be able to show people your love every day in all situations. Amen. So, we had a special guest, I would say, the last time we were actually speaking. Steve Long was here about 3 weeks ago. Who was here on that Friday night? Yeah? What was it that he spoke about? Yes, Ernesto. Love Our City. Yes, that's the theme. Very good. Micah, you had your hand up. So his testimony of growing up in Africa with non-white people, okay. And was there a point to when he brought that up? Sorry? Does anyone else remember the non-white people point? Yes. So Toronto is known. Guys, I don't know if you realize this, but Toronto is sort of growing a name. We're sort of becoming more than just a dot on the map around the world. We're known as a multicultural city. In fact, outside of Italy, the largest gathering of Italians outside of Italy as a country is here in Woodbridge, of 60,000. So Toronto itself is known for being the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. We as a church have decided that we want to focus on this next year, what it would look like for us to get involved in the city and do practical things to outreach to the community. And so we have like all these club cards and stuff called Love Our City that we'd love to give you. And the really cool thing about it all is Love Our City is all based around doing stuff that doesn't involve the church. It involves people getting out there and helping other people. And so when we have like bumper stickers and adverts on the TTC and all these things that say Love Our City, when people go to loveourcity.ca, it brings them to a website all about opportunities to help out in charities and organizations. And to be honest, it doesn't link people back to our church, which is a really cool concept, because sometimes when you throw church into the mix of the things that the church tries to do, it sort of becomes a really, not sensitive, it just sort of becomes, bias, that's not quite the word. I guess I'm sort of looking for, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. It's like a word I can't describe. It puts a hardship into the mix. And so I'm really excited for this year. I'm excited for us as a youth group to be able to discover what this means. I'm excited for you guys to see what that could mean. What practical things can you do to show love to Toronto in your own neighborhood? Sorry, what did you say? It sounded funny. Be vegetarian. Okay. Okay, we won't even have a comeback to that. But what kind of things can we do, guys? And this is an interesting topic, because in our bulletin cell about a year ago, we talked specifically about loving and showing the love of God to the city of Bolton, and we did some practical things. So Abby was in that group, so was Zoe. So what could it look like to show the city of Toronto love? Conserve energy. Okay, that's good. Yes, Matthew. Okay, a really great idea is to go out and maybe just pick up some garbage. Guys, how cool is it? Like, I did this on our Eastern Canada trip. When we were on our Eastern Canada trip, Abby was there. We went to serve a community in Moncton. And one of the things they asked us to do was, hey, if we get you some garbage bags and gloves, can you pick up some trash at the by the highway? We regularly try and go out and do it. And we're like, okay. It's crazy the stuff you find. Like, I was having a fun game just making up stories for the stuff I was finding. It was weird, but cool. But a good idea. Yes.
With regard to that, you guys know that when you're on SOM, you go on an outreach? Yep. So my outreach was to California, to a church called the Father's House. And everybody throughout the whole place, it's called Oroville. Oroville's like the poorest part in the poorest county of the whole of California, and everybody throughout the whole of the county in the state. I know California's a state, but California, the state, has counties. But yeah, so the church was known throughout the whole area because the first thing that they did before they even, like, I don't know if they were having meetings at this point, but they went out and they picked up something like hundreds of thousands of tons of garbage off the streets. Like, the whole church of hundreds of people went out and all they did was clean up the streets. And the streets went from being a complete mess to being clean, and the whole city heard about it. So that's a really cool example.
Very cool. We'll take one more idea. Micah. Organize some people to go out and just pray for people. That's cool. You can also do that when you're, like, walking to your bus stop for school. You can just, if you run into someone, hey, do you need some prayer? It might be a little scary for you to do on your own, but it's a good opportunity. Yes, Abby. Yep. That's a really good idea. I quite often when I've been out with friends and that kind of situation comes up, like, we were in a restaurant once and someone came in begging for money and the owners kicked them out. But it was like, it was a great opportunity and something that someone jumped on and took them and said, hey, I'll buy you some food, and bought them food. They didn't feel comfortable sitting down and eating. They wanted it to go, and also got them a gift card so that they could come back and get a good meal. So that was really, that's a good idea. David does that. He does evangelism and he goes out with gift cards for Tim Hortons. So those are some really good ideas. Guys, these ideas you have, instead of just sharing about them, do some of them. Like, gather some of your friends and do it. I mean, that's part of what being examples and shining lights to the city is all about. But that's not really what the purpose of today's talk is. Today's talk is more about what it looks like to live in a city and as Christians to bring the peace and love of God, and not just the peace of God, but also the prosperity of God into our city. Do you know what prosperity means? Sorry? Tranquility? No. Close. Well, no, not close. Yes, Live Long and Prosper, one of my great TV shows that I love to watch. Prosperity means blessing and financial blessing and to be successful. So how many of you would like to see Toronto known for being a city that is full of peace and the peace of, like just there's not so much violence or drugs and everything else, but also known for being a city of good wealth that does good things with the wealth that they have? Would that not be cool? That would be very good to walk in. I was reading an article earlier today while I was sitting in a car waiting for some friends, and it was about this city in Kentucky that in 1964 was declared as Depression City, USA, is what it was nicknamed as by a news organization. And 40 years later, in 2004, there was so much drug use and corruption within the city itself that it was sort of being known that police chiefs and judges and everyone else were involved in all this scandalous stuff, and it was the fourth poorest county in the USA. In 2004, something like, I wish I had the article with me, but something like 10,000 Christians in the city. I could totally have that number wrong because I don't think the city was that big. So I'll look it up as we're talking. But a whole group of Christians marched together on one day in December to say, we want to see righteousness come in our city. We want to see drug addiction, everything broken down. And within the first few months of that one day that they walked out, the church decided, it was a conglomeration of like 30 some odd churches, decided to start actively going out and helping people get free from drug addiction. And within 3 years, there was something like, let me look up the details as we're talking, but something like two judges, a mayor, the 911 police commissioner, all these people were taken out of their positions because they were all in corruption. And as of 2009, is now being known in the U.S. as a prosperous city that drug abuse and crime and everything else has had such a decline that the city is now known for being prosperous. And it started with Christians and people coming together and saying, we're going to see our city change. And that's what it took. And so for Toronto, Toronto is known for many things, for its multiculturalism, for its great diversity in food. You might not realize this, but we are known for our food. Like around Canada even, we're known as being a place where we have some of the finest restaurants. But yet, we also have some things in our city that we're known for that are not godly. We are known for like the hedonistic behaviors. Hedonistic meaning people that are going after their own pleasures rather than looking out for other people. We're a large city that has a lot of rich people and a lot of greed and a lot of sin and a lot of other things. But what is it that we can be doing to see exactly what God has promised us? Peace and prosperity for Toronto. And so that's where we're going tonight. And I'm not going to speak for too long because we do want to end off tonight with some worship. But let me pull up my notes here. I, by the way, am sporting a little iPad here. If any of you want to play with it later and see if you want to buy one for yourselves, you can. They're great toys. So today, bringing peace and prosperity to our city, if you have a notepad, this is one of the rare times where Ben Kennedy is suggesting that you take notes from what he's saying, because I have a lot of really good scriptures and other things that you'll want to look up, okay? If you'd really like to get my notes later, you can ask for them and I'll just email them to you. But Jeremiah 29:7, if you have your Bibles, and if you're using your iPhone, iPod Bibles, this is a good time to break them out. Jeremiah 29:7. Okay, here's what it says. And I want you all to just pay attention to what's being said here in this scripture and think of what it looks like in the context of Toronto, okay? So, are you ready? Okay. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. What does that mean? Did everyone catch that? Seek the peace, yes. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. If we seek God for the prosperity of Toronto and we pray for it and we ask God to bring blessing and righteousness and all these things to Toronto, God's word promises that as Toronto prospers, those that live in Toronto will prosper as well. So how many of you would like to see prosperity in your life? How many of you want to be in a family where you're financially secure, where you, once you get married and have your children, you're financially secure, you're in a safe neighborhood where you can keep your doors unlocked, where you know each other, where there is a trust and prosperity in the city? How many of you want that kind of a lifestyle? Exactly. So what do we need to start doing to see it come in according to this scripture? Sorry, Maddie, you said it? Pray. We need to pray to see it happen. Wow, is everyone leaving because it's 9 o'clock? Oh, that sucks. Did you lose your drummer? Okay. Sorry for everyone listening to the recording, just tuning in here. So God, the scripture tells us if we pray for that prosperity, then it's going to follow us because the city prospers. Let's move along here. Peace. How do you bring peace to a city? Any ideas? Show peace. That's good. So don't be violent. That's a good answer. Be a peacemaker. What does that look like? Yeah, going into some of the dark areas of the city and praying for people, always wise to do with a group. Did you guys know that there's this whole group of you guys might not know this, but I've always loved the concept of strategic warfare. And ever since I was a kid, like I'm not even joking you, I used to have dreams in which there were times when Christianity was illegal, and like I'd walk into my closet and the door would close and I was in a room with tons of other Christians from around the world, and we were spiritually being brought together to pray through and see strategy as to what God was having us do all around the world. And there's an actual group in Toronto, some of the people attend here at the church, where when there is any major crime of violence, whether it be a rape, a murder, or a suicide, or even a robbery, anything that involves violence, within 24 hours, they dispatch a team of prayer people to go into that location and to start breaking down the strongholds and to start taking down that territory that the enemy has gotten through violence. And they pray through it, and that's strategy. That's like God giving people wisdom in how to prosper and how to see a gain in peace within our city. You guys know what strongholds are, right? Like they're little things that allow the enemy and forces of the enemy to sort of reside in an area and continually do things. And so as we start dismantling those things, then God's able to bring more of his peace and presence in places. And so part of what peace is linked to us obeying God's word, to seeing God's law fulfilled. And so Leviticus 26:3-6 says, "If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid." How many of you have a hard time sleeping at night when it gets dark? Like, honestly. Okay, just ask that question yourself. You might not have to say it in front of everyone. But sometimes you go to bed and you're a little scared, maybe thinking, what if somebody breaks into the house, you know? Especially as you become a homeowner, those are some of the thoughts that go through your mind. Yet the Word of God promises us that as we obey his commands, that there will be a peace in our land that means we can go to bed without having to be afraid. And that's truth. I can't wait for that peace. Psalm 122:6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure." Speak peace to situations and people in our city. Listen, you guys are probably, as teenagers, surrounded with friends and other people and even yourselves that have a lot of stuff going on, that probably have situations coming at you that I can't even begin to imagine. Things that happen that just cause you to be worried or stressed out. And when those things happen, the scripture says that you can speak peace into those situations. Like Maddie even said, we can be peacemakers. And a peacemaker is someone who actively shows peace but also gives out peace. And Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." If we are known as people in a workplace that when our shift comes up and we're working there and things are going smoothly and sales seem to happen to go higher when we're working and things just naturally happen during our time on that shift, we're going to become known as people of favor. We're going to be known as people that when we're in a room and there's like a lot of problems going on and we start speaking peace to others and praying peace, that we'll be known for being people who can help calm down situations. At Blockbuster, when I used to work there, David Shunker was working there for a while with me as well, and at one point my sister too. And it got to the point where our manager and some others would always be facing some tough times, and I would go to Blockbuster and work there, and it was like my stress-free job. And it's not because youth ministry and everything here is stressful, but it's just there's a lot of responsibility here. And so when I go to Blockbuster, I'd be happy, I'd be cheerful, I had no real problems. It was like, yeah, I get to chill out, rent people some movies, eat some food, hang out with friends. And they're like, how come you're so cheerful? You're not stressed. It's like, this is my easy job. I love this. And there was a reputation that got built up between me and David and my sister that when we were working with people, we were always kind. David used to, like, every time he'd work with someone, he would always buy their food. Even if they didn't want food, he would buy them dinner. And we became known as people that if there was a problem, even if they weren't Christian, they could talk to us and we'd be more than willing to pray for them. Because even people who don't accept God into their hearts, they're always open to prayer. So you guys may think, like, when you offer someone prayer that they're going to be like, oh, no, I don't believe in God. Why would you offer? I'm offended. No, it's like, oh, wow, really? Of course. That would be awesome. Thank you. People are open to other people thinking of them, let alone praying for them. So you guys can become known as people who will go out there and become peacemakers for the gospel. Let's think about God for a sec. God is what? Love. Yes, what is love? Love is kind. Love is patient. Doesn't envy. Doesn't boast. Yep. We basically could throw out the whole scripture and definitions of love. Let's put it this way. God is peace as well, right? The Holy Spirit is our peace. So why don't we take God with us into our city? Why don't we take God with us into our school, when we go to work, everywhere we go? And I don't just mean bring your Bible in your knapsack, because, yeah, I did that in high school, and yes, I did get made fun of for it. It was like, really? You're carrying around a Bible? Yes, I am. And what I'm saying is carry God with you into all situations. Don't go into places alone. When something comes up, first response, okay, let's pray. I was telling some of the guys earlier today that when it comes to Facebook, one of my first reactions when I'm about to post something is, what will our youth think about this if they read it? Because I don't want to be saying something that like will cause our youth to be like, why are you talking like that, or anything of that nature. And so in that, the way that that's second nature for when I'm about to write something, why not when situations come up, the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, so God, what can I do to see this become better? God, what can I say? What can I pray that's going to bring a resolution? Let's let our first defense, rather than letting it be our own problem-solving skills, let's let our first response, and literally our only response, be God. You know? You got a headache? I don't have Tylenol, but what I have is this. Pray for him. Heal them. Like Paul and the beggar. I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have is healing, so get up and be healed in the name of Jesus. We can do it. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace is in all the congregations of the Lord's people. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Prosperity. We've talked a bit about peace. As I said, I'm zooming through these things. Prosperity. Wealth. Prospering. I can't really say that word twice in trying to define the word to begin with. Prosperity is also linked to following God's law, right? And the way that peace is obtained through obeying what God calls us to do, prosperity is also there. Job 22:21 and Job 36:11. How many of you know about Job? Anyone not, don't be embarrassed, anyone here not know who Job is in the Bible? Okay, Job, he's got this whole book about him. It's an incredible book that if you read, I guarantee you, no time in your life will you ever be able to say, I have it as bad as Job did. It started off with Job being married and having children, and God having a conversation with the devil. They're talking, and God sort of boasts about how incredible a man of God that Job is. And the devil's like, really? Do you really think he's such a man of God? Let me have my way with him and see what he feels like then. And so God says, all right, but these are the guidelines. You can't kill him. And he gives him some very specific guidelines. And so the devil, what he does is near the beginning of Job, there is a giant party going on in Job's house or the house of one of his kids. And this great like sort of earthquake and wind comes in, knocks down the pillars of the house. And all of Job's family is killed instantly. In the same day that I think raiders come and attack all of Job's property and farmlands and everything else. And basically within the same day, Job loses every single one of his family members, his children, his business, and everything. He loses it all, okay? And as he's lost it all, he still speaks of God's goodness. And then there's this point in which he's got three friends that are writing to him throughout scripture, throughout this book, and writing him letters and saying, you know, Job, it's because you sinned, or all this stuff. And Job still is not quite catching how to respond to God, but he's not dishonoring God. And finally, there's a time where him and God come face to face, and God puts him in his place. And you should read it, because I'm not doing it justice. It's only one book in the Bible, but it's very good. And if you want to see friends who won't be there for you, read Job, because Job had those friends who were not there for him. Okay? So, prosperity. In Job 22, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. And if they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity. If we submit to God and be at peace with God, then prosperity will follow us for the very rest of our lives. What does submitting to God look like? Ideas, concepts, Matthew? Okay. Handing over everything we own, everything we do, and our heart. See ya, Bethany. See ya, Addie. Not just handing over everything, but also submitting to God sometimes means doing something that we don't quite understand, but because God has asked us to do it, we'll do it with a good heart. How many of you have had like a friend or someone where something comes up and they sort of reluctantly agree to do something and you can completely tell their heart's not in it? Anyone have those situations? I've had those. I've done those myself. Yet when it comes to submitting to God, it's not just a matter of doing it. It's not just a matter of being like, okay, God, I won't watch the movie. But it's a matter of our heart being in it as well and saying, you know what, God, you're right, I won't watch this movie and I might not understand why not, but I'm gonna do it. I'm not gonna be mad about it. I'm not gonna complain about it. Sometimes I complain to God, just so you know, but it still works out. But as we submit to God and we're at peace with him, prosperity comes to us, and prosperity remains with us for every day until the rest of our days is done. So what is it that you can do to bring prosperity to the city? Any ideas, Mr. Stephen?
No.
You guys will like this point. You'll like my point that I have to say. Yes. Pray for it. Yes, pray for peace. I sort of said one of the answers already. What can we do to see prosperity happen? Think one point ago. Yes. True. Submit, very true, but yes. Very true. What I was going to say is obeying God. But this next point you're all going to like, okay? You ready for it? This one you may want to write on your hand if you don't have paper. You're going to want to write this one down. Making money to help God's kingdom is encouraged. Did you know that? Did you know that God wants you to make money so that you can help the kingdom of God advance? God's money, by the way, God's money. The money we make, God's kingdom is not reliant on our money in order to advance, but God wants us to make money to be able to support what is going on in the kingdom so that we even get to be prospered. Psalm 122:9, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. In order for us to see prosperity happen, we also need to go out there and start doing things like working a job. How many of you know that if you want to go to university, it doesn't come free? It doesn't come easy. Anyone? Exactly. Chris knows, Abby knows, Matthew knows, Abby knows. There's two Abbies in case you're listening to this on the microphone or recording. Okay. God's heart is for prosperous cities. This is Zechariah 1:17, because God intends for a city to be prospered. Like I said, there's a lot of points here, so just if you're not fully following along, that's okay. Just listening to the recording later. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Okay, guys. Toronto has a destiny upon upon the city. Toronto as a city, there is a plan and a purpose that God has, and every single one of us is a part of that plan. Every one of us has been called to this city and to this nation and to where we are. Even if 5 years from now you're not living here, but for now you have all been called to be able to bring a prospering of the Spirit of God in this city. How do I know this? Because you're here. God brings you to places and puts you in situations so that you can be the ones to bring solutions. You can be the ones to get out there and see something happen. Because, I mean, God could easily do it on his own, couldn't he? God could save all of us if he wanted to, except he would overwrite the very foundations he put into place, which was our free will. And so God has put us in Toronto for this time to be able to see certain things happen. Ever wonder why you weren't born 200 years ago? Because there was slavery? Because you were born now? How many of you would have wanted to live 200 years ago? Really? Okay, so yeah, it's cool that you guys wish you lived a long time ago, but let me put it to you this way. Life was a lot different. Women were not treated equal until only about 40 years ago. You weren't considered people, but property. Those of color were considered slaves. Guys, we're getting off track here, so let me wrap it back in by saying this. God has put you today in your school, in your family, in this city, for a reason. And you've heard us preach it many times here in youth. And part of that purpose is to see the city reach its full potential. I cannot wait for the day when Toronto is not just known for being multicultural and everything else, but it is known for being a city that serves God. And that might not mean every person in the city serves God, but it very well could mean that so many people are serving God. And so we're going to jump right into these few questions that I want you to think about. If peace and prosperity come by obeying God's laws, right? Because that's the foundation of everything I've said. Peace and prosperity, which we can bring to Toronto, comes from obeying God's laws. How do we do it? How do we figure out what God's laws are? Well, it starts by reading the Word. Some of you might not have a regular reading habit of the Bible, but it's something you need to get into. And it can be as simple as starting a Bible program where, like, you all have iPhones, iPads, and computers, and all that kind of stuff. You guys can, or Blackberries, you guys can easily download an app or a program that sets you up on a reminder every day. Hey, read this, read this. Or do it the simple way. Read 3 old chapters a day and 1 new chapter. So 1 chapter from the New Testament and 3 chapters from the Old Testament. Simple. And you'll get through the whole Bible within about a year. You guys, in order to understand God's laws, we need to read the Word. Next, if peace and prosperity come from taking on God's character and His heart, then we need to grow in being godly people, right? We need to become more godly in the things that we do. So what can you do? Get involved in a cell group. We talked about it earlier. Get involved in a group where you're around friends that are going to call you to the higher standard. You guys need to be around friends that will be there to encourage you as you're doing well, and maybe even give you a slight slap in the head when you need to be doing better. You know, you need to have friends that will challenge you and call you out on things. And the whole purpose of what we do as leaders in this youth program is to call you guys to the standards that God has for your life and to call you to a higher place. And in the same way, we all are in a group and in a place where someone's calling us to be better at what we're doing. That's what we want to see happen for you guys. So get involved in a cell. It's a really great place. Get accountable with someone. Let's pray. And while we're praying, I'll call up the worship team to get ready. Everyone lay your hand on someone next to you. But Father God, I thank you that there is such room for us to see prosperity and peace, not just here in Toronto, but in our own lives. And so God, I just ask that you would allow us to walk in godly character, that Lord, everywhere we go, you would help us to just be showing other people who you are through the life that we live. Lord, I ask that every single one of these young men and women would become known for their character, for the way that they treat other people, for the way that they just seem to have a happiness about them, a joy at the core of who they are, that every single one of them would be known for being hard workers and also people full of integrity and moral character. And Father, I ask that you would give us the grace to run hard with your promises, to see you prosper us in all situations. And first and foremost, Lord, would you allow us to rely on you in everything that we do? So God, pour out your blessing upon each person here, I pray, and give us your heart for everything that we walk in. In your mighty name, amen.